I met my best friend Anne in 1985.
And the Babysitter's Club kept her friendship alive.
Then Emily was born in 1988, and she said,
"Thanks, Aunt Esme, these books are great.
Now we're all grown up and we're living our dreams
as a writer
and a scholar
and an expert on teens.
And we're gonna start again from the very first book
because we're stuck.
Stuck in Stony Brook.
Welcome to Stuck in Stony Brook, a podcast about the Babysitter's Club. Today we're discussing book 76, Stacy's Lie.
I feel like it's more like lies, plural.
So many lies.
But like weird lies.
Weird lies with serpentine self-justifications behind them.
Yeah.
I don't know. The stakes were weird. Well, I sort of already said my one sentence summary, so I'll just say it. My summary of this book is Stacy and her dad are both weird little liars.
Yeah.
The lies are so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not wrong. Yeah, because it's not just Stacy's lie. It's also Ed McGill's lie, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. My summary was Stacy once again goes to the ocean to relearn chicks before dicks.
Yeah, she is boy crazy, Stacy.
I feel like the ocean air does it to her.
Yeah.
Well, romance.
Romance.
My summary is not a summary per use, but
nice. Classic.
Per use.
Stacy's lie would be better if her lie was that she doesn't have diabetes.
What?
Because, you know, there was like the truth about Stacy, and that was all about her having diabetes. And Stacy's lie is her just, guess what?
Oh.
I don't have diabetes.
Oh, like if she'd been faking it the whole time?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, Anne.
Is Stacy's had Munchausen's?
Wow.
Oh, that's a
She has an eating disorder.
Oh, no, Anne. No, we already did the eating disorder book. We had to take it to a dark place. All right. I suppose Emily and I summarized the fluffier parts of this. Fluffier parts. That's not a part of this. It's just, yeah. This is just Anne's version of improving, and you already sucked me into it.
I love that you've already like conceded that this is a book. This is the book.
I know. I don't. All right. You guys, we should probably back up and tell you about the members of the podcast. I'm Esme Schaller, an adolescent psychologist. I'm kind of bossy, but I have a big heart.
I'm Anna Chikawa, a freelance writer. I'm a mischievous pragmatist with a sweet tooth.
And I'm Emily Crandall, a feminist scholar. I'm a total individual, and I like health food.
So close.
If you want to learn more about us and how we know each other, please check out our prologue episode. Also, rate and review us. It really helps people find the podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or commentary about anything BSC-related, drop us a line at stuckinstonybrook@gmail.com. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/stuckinstonybrook.
One perk of being a patron that we have not mentioned recently is that we prioritize you when it comes to doing your BSC Big Five. BSC Big Five. Mm. Yay. So been a little while since we've done
some. What's a BSC Big Five?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Emily. So the Big Five is a legitimate personality taxonomy studied by Oliver John and others in the 90s. And it essentially highlights that there are five dimensions of personality, and people can be high or low or medium on any of those dimensions of openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. And our version is how high or low you are on each of the babysitters. And it's very scientific. And we're going to do one today for Katie.
Science.
Wow, you said that so quickly. That's impressive. Like you almost studied this for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Almost.
Okay. This BSC Big Five comes from Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Katie. Katie's a longtime listener. Katie's like an OG cis fan.
Nice.
Longtime listener, first time caller.
Yeah. Okay. Katie writes, I have had this in drafts for way too long because I overthink things. Mm. So that is probably a Marianne/Mallory trait to start. Okay, here goes. When I was younger, I probably identified most with Marianne, but loved Stacy best. Mm. As an adult, I have fully embraced my Mallory-ness because I am very pragmatic and feel like trends ever so slightly elude me.
Oh, that's a very astute observation.
It is. My parents divorced when I was in third grade, which is also right around the time I discovered the BSC. I moved to a new school where I met my BFF, still BFFs to this day.
Aw, it's like you and me, Anne.
Mm-hmm. Yep, best friends.
Yeah. And Michelle moved to a new school in third grade. That's when she met us.
This is where Anne tells Esme that they're not best friends anymore. Oh, you think we're still best friends? Wow.
That's cute. Anyway.
That's cute.
Katie continues to say, I was quiet and shy, but was on a soccer team and in Girl Scout troop.
Woohoo, Girl Scout.
I read a lot and was always the first to have the newest BSC book because my dad had a deal with the owner of the local children's bookstore.
That's awesome.
Wow. I got my period at 12 on my first day of middle school.
Oh,
damn.
Baby. Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Katie. That sucks.
In high school, I always had a lot of crushes, but not really any serious relationships. I was on the dance team, which was definitely my main social group, but I was also on the yearbook staff and in band, flute.
Mm.
Okay.
I was in honors English and social studies, but absolutely not math. I got okay grades, but didn't want to compete with all the high achievers.
Oh, that's some Anne vibes there.
Yeah. After graduation, I took a gap year, although that's not what we called it then. I moved with friends in a college town and ended up going to community college and then transferred to a university.
Woohoo, community college.
Still not any long-term relationships until I met my now husband at 22, and we have two daughters. I am a third grade teacher, which is what I went to college for. I'm still a reader and love cross-stitching, but despite living in the Pacific Northwest my whole life, I am not the outdoorsy type. I am a very casual dresser, but do go for more classic looks over trends. I have a dry, sarcastic sense of humor, but what Gen X doesn't. I have celiac disease, so by default, I end up eating healthy a lot of the time, but I love junk food and french fries.
Oh,
wow, she's very, like, well-rounded.
Yeah, I think Katie's very balanced as well. I hear a lot of different sitters. What jumps out to you guys?
I mean, I'm not getting a whole lot of Mal, even though she sort of starts out by saying that's my Malloriness is showing.
Yeah. So she's practical. Mm-hmm. And trends elude her, but she says she likes casual and classic, which I think is more like a Marianne Dawn combo.
Yeah, I also think that that's something that people who don't think they're trendy, but who other people might describe as trendy or cool would say.
Oh, so you think Katie's a sleeper. You think Katie is cooler than she thinks she is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I'm getting.
I think that's true of a lot of our listeners. We think you're cooler than you think you are, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Except so, Anne doesn't think you're cool.
No. Yeah. But she also doesn't think we're best friends. So, okay. So, divorced parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got to throw in a Dawn, a Christy, or a Stacy in there. She identified with Stacy, and she has a medical issue that restricts her eating. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like that's a little bit of Stacy. And the dad got the deal with the local children's bookstore, I feel like it's a little bit of like over-functioning divorced dad, which is more Ed McGill than Dawn, certainly not a Christy dad, and certainly not Mr. Schaefer in the same way. Like, I mean, this book is a great example of Ed trying to over-function, mostly to cover a lie, which we'll get to. But so I feel like it's more of a Stacy divorce than a Dawn or Christy divorce.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah, I feel like she's reading to me as like a introverted Stacy.
Yes, I think that's correct. Right, so we've got the Marianne is obvious, right? She's an indoor kid. She likes to cross stitch. She likes to read. All of that is very Marianne. And there's some Mal there too. I'm not getting much Christy.
Mm-mm. No,
we got to give her a little Jessie because she's on this dance team.
Yes. By default.
Yeah. And we think style-wise, sort of a Dawn, Marianne, Stacy hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we see any Claudia here? Well, loves junk food.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't want to compete with high achievers.
Yeah.
Well, she can eat some junk food. She just has to avoid gluten, right? So she can do french fries and she can do gluten-free junk food, some of which is yummy. So I feel like there's a little Claudia there. Do we think zero, Christy?
Yeah, I don't know what in here... Maybe,
yeah, like on a soccer team, like maybe Christy would do that, but
yeah,
like,
but
no,
that's in third grade. I mean,
let's say 1%.
Okay. 1% Christy.
And this is my favorite part.
Introverted Stacy. So we think Stacy and Marianne are the leads.
Followed by Mallory and Dawn.
Yeah. And then with a dash of Stacy and a dash of Claudia and a dash of Jesse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go in order. So the biggest chunk we think is Marianne, right?
Yeah,
but I think it's Stacy.
You think more Stacy than Marianne? She hates math.
Ugh, I don't know. I feel like Stacy's vibe.
Yeah, I feel like her vibe is more Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. Okay, so do we think they're equal?
Yeah.
Okay, so what percent do we want to give her, Marianne and Stacy?
I can't say.
Anne?
Maybe like 65 each.
Okay.
Yeah. How does that sound? Or actually, let's make it 69 each.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't think it's that high because she's more balanced. I'm not going to let you guys do it just to give her a 69.
Okay, fine.
65 is already pushing it. I'm sorry. I'm protecting you from this, Katie. These shenanigans. These people that used to be my best friend and my niece. Okay. So Mallory next. Like 50% Mallory? 40?
I think 40 sounds.
Okay. Maybe like 42.0.
Oh my God.
42.01, actually.
Emily, it was a 420 reference.
420.
You add the one, it's not 420.
But I wanted it to be just one little more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then Dawn, like 20%? I don't feel like there's a lot of Dawn there, but.
No. Make it less than that.
15?
Less.
12.
More.
Oh my God.
13.
Okay, 13% Dawn, 5% Jesse and Claudia?
Yes.
Okay. We got you, Katie. We got you pegged. While you may feel like it's a Mallory gestalt, we think that you are an introverted Stacy. So 65% Marianne and Stacy, 42% Mallory, 13% Dawn, 5% each Claudia and Jesse, and only 1% Christy.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Nice.
The less Christy, the better.
Rude. Jesus. Also rude to every guest we've ever had. Okay. Thanks for playing, Katie. All right. And what goes on in this book?
A lot. Okay. So this is all about, we really dig into Stacy and Robert's relationship, which we haven't done before. Mm-hmm. Robert seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's cute.
Yeah, he's cute.
He doesn't seem 13 to me, but
no,
yeah, because they gave him a job running a ferry.
And he's like in touch with his emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, I don't like what I saw in you, but also I don't like the way I reacted.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very self-aware.
I don't buy it.
Oh, I think it's more of like Anna Martin giving us like aspirational, like I feel like she's teaching young girls to value themselves and demand a lot from their boyfriends.
Or just don't have boyfriends.
Yeah, or she's gay and doesn't know what 13-year-old boys act like.
Yeah.
Or that.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, Stacy's dad surprises her by being like, hey, I took 2 weeks off from work, which is like
shocking.
Crazy. Yeah. And Stacy also finds out that for summer vacation plans, Robert's going to be working on the Fire Island ferry. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is so funny. And she's like, oh, wait, I want to see my dad, but also I don't want to miss Robert. So I'm going to tell my dad I want to go to Fire Island so I can have it both ways, but then doesn't tell anyone this.
Right. Which also, in what world does Stacy not want to go to Paris or something? Like, Fire Island is like 3 hours from Stony Brook if you take both ferries. It's like very close.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 hours. Going through the city, it's a little longer. But like, what?
Well, she doesn't get to see her boyfriend all summer.
Yeah.
She's moony.
She is moony.
But then to add to the lies, she invites Claudia because she wants a friend there. But also
Ed invites Claudia and is like, hey, it'll be more fun if you bring a friend.
Right. But Claudia doesn't know Robert's going to be there and Stacy does not tell her. So that's another lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she also invites the rest of BSC out for July 4th weekend.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't tell them that Robert's
going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then everyone gets pissed off at Stacy because she's caught in all these lies.
Yeah. Don't forget, though, that Mr. McGill also secretly invites his girlfriend to Fire Island for the 2 weeks.
Stacy does not know about.
Who Stacy does not know exists, Samantha, and does not tell Stacy.
And he's hanging. Who is he hanging out with all the time? What's
Stu
his
Majors.
Cover?
Stu Majors. Yeah. Stu Majors. Which you guys, of course, were also hoping that Mr. McGill was secretly gay, right?
Yes, 100%. Yes. I was like, oh my God, this book is amazing. Yes. Mr. McGill's gay. Nope.
It was such a bummer. Yeah, I was like, we're on Fire Island.
Yeah.
And Stu Majors, like, knows the drill here and is, like, welcoming him. But no.
Yeah.
No, it would have been much better. Stacy got to meet his, and then it would have been two lies, but
but like a lie we would have liked.
Cheered. We would have understood why Mr. McGill didn't come out right away in 1994 to his teenage daughter. It would have made sense. I know. I really
instead
wanted
it, instead of Samantha.
Instead of Samantha. Yeah.
Claudia finds
out. I have a lot to say about that in my corner.
Oh, nice. Oh good.
Claudia finds out about Robert and Stacy's whole scheme. And she gets really pissed off.
Well, at first she doesn't. She's actually very understanding in the beginning. She finds out right away because they run into Robert on the ferry. And then Stacy manages this whole like, well, I didn't tell you because I wanted you to come. And if you knew Robert was going to be here, you wouldn't have come, right? And it's because I care about you and I want to spend time with you, which kind of works. But then Stacy's spending like every spare minute with Robert. And finally, Claudia gets fed up.
Yeah.
And
it's
then
pretty
Stacy,
annoying.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Not cool. And then Stacy and her dad also confront each other because they are both like walking on the beach in the evening and the other one doesn't know that the other one is there. And they
under
the full moon and they both have their partners with them and they're both shocked.
Also,
and
the idea
like, nice to meet you, Mr. McGill.
I know. The idea of like a 13-year-old having this like just this whole thing going on is just ridiculous to me.
So I love how you called it this whole thing, Anne.
Well, it's very complicated for a 13-year-old. Like, she's going away. Her boyfriend has this job. Her divorced dad has a new one. It's just a lot.
It's a lot. A lot happens in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the B plot is that Mal and Jesse are back home working at a day camp, and Haley Braddock and Vanessa Pike get mad at each other, like something out of an I Love Lucy episode because they have matching bathing suits. Of course, I don't know why I say that quizzically. Of course, it's directly from an I Love Lucy episode.
so funny.
And then they get really, really pissed at each other and Mal and Jesse have to scheme to like get them to be friends again.
Yeah, that was a little unnecessary, I feel. Mm-hmm. That whole
the thread.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, that wasn't like, I kind of skipped those chapters to be honest.
I figured you might.
Yeah.
Although they did have some very good insults for each other. Like, they were pretty nasty.
Yeah.
My whole list of lines is Haley and Vanessa's stuff.
I read most of it on the train, and afterwards I was like, oh, I should have written down Haley and Vanessa's insults. So I'm really glad that you did.
Yeah. And what else went on? There's a parade that Claudia is, you know, using her free time away from Stacy to plan.
This is the little bit of Claudia that I have in me. She makes all these costumes and has this whole plan for the parade. But their float is a sandcastle on wheels, which is so obviously a terrible idea.
Yeah, I was like, first of all, sand's really heavy.
Real, especially wet sand. And then it's supposed to not fall. I was like, why didn't you build it with cardboard and glue sand onto it? Like, very
it
obviously.
Make sense. Yeah.
I was so confused.
Yeah, that wasn't a great idea. Anyway, at the end, everyone makes up and it's all good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, but we even have a Stacy Robert breakup temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. McGill's not talking to Stacy for a long time because he's also 13 years old, apparently, even though he also lied. We get a little insight into why the McGill's divorced because he can't talk about his feelings.
Also, Claudia like has a photography exhibit go up in the gallery on Fire Island.
Yes. And some people buy her pieces.
Yeah.
Yes.
She makes $60. That's legit.
That's totally legit, especially in 1994. Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of like a fuck you, Stacy.
I know. Yeah, I did love Claude in this book.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really good Claudia book for sure.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just her mobbing the ice cream, so to speak, from our Yeah, so I actually really liked the psychology in this book. I thought that the connection that Mr. McGill and Stacy later make, that they're both kind of avoidant people and they want to like not talk about hard things and make everybody happy, but then that leading to lying is actually not a good strategy, was pretty well rendered. It was they didn't give it much attention. It wasn't until the very end. But I thought it made sense that, you know, Mr. McGill's from do we ever know what he actually does? Something, it's like investment banking or something. Like
he sends a lot of faxes.
Yeah, he sends a lot of faxes. He's like some kind of business guy. Like I'm just assuming he's like a waspy rich guy, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not a surprise to me.
Businessman.
Yes, exactly. Ed McBusinessman McGill. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising to me that he would not be great at talking about his feelings and that he would want to avoid uncomfortable conversations and that that would drive Maureen crazy, right? Especially as you're trying to navigate, oh, our daughter now has diabetes and we have to figure this out. I can see how he would retreat into work and she would feel left holding the bag. So like their whole divorce makes a lot of sense to me. And then, you know, I thought it was a really interesting choice to highlight Stacy as having some of those problems as opposed to just, I mean, it's pretty sophisticated, right? That she's not just like a kid that's a victim of this adult relationship, but that like she either through demonstration or through genetics has some of these same tendencies as her dad and she has to wrestle with them. Mm-hmm. It felt like the kinds of stuff that we might, that I might tackle in a family therapy session with a young adult and her father, you know? So I thought that it was a nice, you know, a nice way of looking at it. And I also thought, Stacy, I have seen this many times with teenagers who tell a lie they think would be helpful. Like there's a line where Stacy says, you know, I thought I was being so clever and really I was being manipulative and like crappy. She doesn't say crappy, but it's like something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Like she thought this was a genius idea. Like, oh, I get to have this vacation with my dad. He's actually not working for 2 weeks. I get to go to the beach. I like the beach. I get to see Robert. I get to spend time with Claudia. Like it's win, 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 you know? And she sort of lied to herself. That's the other lie. She lied to herself about the whole plan. And then it all comes crumbling down, right? And so I think that was pretty well rendered. And I think that teens do that to themselves. They like convince themselves this is a better thing, better way.
Was the sandcastle like a metaphor for her life?
Yes, it was.
Dear
yes.
God.
And yes, I love Emily's disgusted and I love it.
Now I have the Robin Sparkles follow up hit Sandcastles in the Sand from How I Met Your Mother stuck in my head. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is a sandcastles in the sand moment. I do think that that is a metaphor for all
like
of
in
this,
the beginning, right? Claudia's sandcastles are all beautiful. Mm-hmm. Then at the end, they just all crumble
in the rain and in the rain of Stacy's lies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think that this is where, you know, 13-year-olds are on the cusp of some moral decision making. Right. And I think the good thing about how Anna Martin and who's a Suzanne Wayne, how they wrote this is she's not like, she doesn't believe she's plotting the perfect crime, right? She's not like, ha, 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 no one will know. And I'll be, she's just like, hey, this is great for everyone. Mm-hmm. Claudia gets a vacation. My dad gets to spend time with me. I don't have to miss Robert. Like everyone's going to be happy. And I think she really believes that. And that was believable to me for a 13-year-old. They do not think things through.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that all the psychology in this one was actually pretty good. What was ridiculous is the idea that Robert has this job, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And that he would be so good. Yeah.
And he's like a 13-year-old boy talking to his shipmates about this good old gal he's got on.
Mm-hmm. Is this the famous Stacy? Yeah. Totally. The other thing that jumped out at me to this book is just personal is that, you know, when I was going to Stony Brook for grad school, I lived half an hour from Patchogue. We went to Davis Park for the day all the time. Like, I know all these places they're talking about. It's like directly below Port Jefferson Station and Stony Brook where I lived. So it was funny to me because, you know, when we go to Sea City, it's all these like fictional amalgamations. Right. But this is all real stuff. Like the casino cafe where they eat is real. The harbor store is real. The beach glass gallery is real.
The reader note in the Kindle version from Anna Martin says she, for 5 years in a row, used to rent a house there every summer with her friends.
Yeah. Well, that was in her memoir that we read with your mom. Remember?
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
So, yeah. So this is totally just what she would do every year, and it, she put so all funny. Of the real things in there. And I wonder if – I bet some of the names of the local people are even real from that
that's
time.
That's cute.
But, yeah, so that was just fun. I could, like, picture where they were walking when they were on the Bayside or the Oceanside and what they were doing. And yeah. Made me – I don't miss Long Island very often, but it made me miss Long Island.
Yeah, that's what do you – I mean, I think we've all been to Fire Island.
I haven't.
You haven't?
Really? You live the closest.
Yeah.
You should go. It's fun.
We always go to Cape Cod because that's where Matt's family is. So,
but you could go for just like a day on a you know, during the summer sometime because it's fun to walk around with the no, you know, it's like Venice. It's like the no cars thing is cool.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Yeah, I've never, isn't, where, what's the island that's up like in Maine that is the same deal?
I don't know. I don't know from New England.
Yeah. I've lived around for a long time, but.
Yeah. We should go sometime. I'll come. Anne and I will come out and the three of us can go to Fire Island and pretend we're in Stacey's Fly.
That's actually fun. I would do that.
Yeah. We could do that for our retreat.
Okay.
All right. So that's what I got. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Like I thought the things were good. Although, oh, also, did anyone else notice? This is just a nugget that Karen and Andrew's custody arrangements changed.
No.
is the first book. I'm assuming maybe they talked about it in a little sister book, but now they said that they're with Watson every other month.
Oh.
That's definitely different.
Yeah.
Because it used to be every other weekend and then sometime in the summer, right?
Yeah, it was like pretty not often. Yeah.
So he got way more custody somewhere along the way. But, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Plot hole. The plot thickens.
My only other thing was Stacey says in the beginning, although I wanted to be independent, I also liked being cared for, which is like such a good encapsulation of being a teenager. I loved it. What you got?
I'm an adult person. Get me that water, please. Can't get it myself. I don't think that's what she means, but I that's what I mean.
I don't think so.
Okay, so when for a hot second I thought the reveal was going to be that Mr. McGill was gay, I got really excited. And then
so excited.
The fact that it wasn't just kind of like made me revisit the McGills in general, like through a kind of new lens. And I think, I don't know if this is an exaggerated book where this phenomena is present or if it's, I just like haven't quite picked up on it, but I feel like their divorce, their marriage, their divorce and their dynamic is like really, really like heterosexist tropey. And they become kind of like caricatures of like divorced woman, like divorced dad. And that like everything they do feels like it's pulled directly from a script of like, you know, the truth about cats and dogs. Like this is what men are like. This is what women are like. And like this is what it's like to be in a marriage. And this is why marriage is hard. And I was like, oh gosh, it's like, you know, the only thing that saves it from being super problematic is the thing you were talking about, that Stacey has this conversation where she's like, oh, I do this too. But like, if that was not in there, this is like, I mean, just mix up every like rom-com trope about divorced people, shake it up and then like spit out a Stacey book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's such a great point.
Like workaholic dad, like, you know, I mean, in the 90s, he works from home. Right. He has a home office.
Right.
And he's just like constantly faxing things. Like he can't take a vacation. And then, you know, Mrs. McGill, like, okay, so Stacey, in reckoning with her lying tendencies or her avoidance tendencies, right? She almost tells another lie at the end and like doesn't tell her mom about her dad's new girlfriend. And then she's like, well, why would I not tell her? It's because I want to protect her, but then it will hurt her feelings more later that she'll find out that I knew and I kept it from her, blah, blah, blah. So she like tells her mom. And it's like, I think Mrs. McGill handles it nicely. Like she doesn't act like a woman scorned, but it is the trope, right? That like the husband dates first and that he dates someone like hot. And like Stacey talks about her as kind of like, she doesn't say she was like, could have been his secretary or whatever, but you get the vibe that what's her name? Samantha is like, is like beautiful. And Mr. McGill's kind of like moony about her like physically. And so that feels very much kind of like that divorce trope there. Yeah. And Mrs. McGill is like, you know, in her garden, pulling her weeds, just like waiting for her daughter to come home.
Yeah.
And it's like, totally. Okay. Yeah.
Totally.
But I was thinking about that trope, you know, the like, and then when she talks about what you were saying, right? Like part of, you can see the like why their marriage dissolved, but that is even like, that's a trope, tropey. Right? That like men are closed off and unwilling to be emotional. Right. And then like the divorce is a moment of kind of like reckoning. And then she like loses her husband and sends a better version of him off for like the next woman, right? Mm-hmm. That he's like, right. Oh,
I didn't realize I did that till Samantha pointed it out.
I'm
sure Maureen like, never
literally
mentioned
says
that.
To Stacey, like, you know, look where it got me, a divorce, like, you know, and it's like, bro.
Yeah.
What?
Well, and we know Samantha doesn't have kids, right? Because she's not just like dropping everything to fly to go to Fire Island to like wait on this like a side piece while he spends time with Stacey. Like
he literally gets her a separate lodging situation. It's like kind of sketch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little weird. For yeah, sure. He sucks.
Yeah,
and he does the like cutesy overprotective dad trope thing too, where he's like, oh, you're my girl, I gotta make sure nothing happens to my girl. It's like, I mean, I don't know, it could have been worse. Like he could have been really weird and macho with Robert and he wasn't. Like that's a really common trope. But I thought like the divorce script, right, like on the one hand you can totally see why they got divorced, on the other hand it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, well, and even Sam's last name is Young. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yes. Sam Young. Like, come on.
The description of her was, she was very beautiful with large blue eyes, thick wavy brown hair, and a great figure. She was wearing a gauzy flower print skirt, a crocheted top, and big gold hoop earrings. In her hand dangled a pair of gold sandals.
Yeah. The implication is younger than Mrs. McGill, not a mom, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That great figure in italics. Like, did not squeeze out a baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, never been pregnant. Yeah, I thought that, I don't know if I've ever noticed that particular feature of the McGills before, but it like really stood out to me in this book, especially because for a second I thought he was going to be gay and then I was really sad.
Yeah, it made it worse, right?
It made it worse.
I mean, so did you really think he was going to be gay?
No, I just wanted him to.
Yeah. Okay. Because you didn't think that this children's book that was published in 1994 was going to have him have a secret boyfriend, right?
No, but wouldn't it be so stupid if he did and his name was Stu Majors?
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would like make me happy, I think, happier than I've ever been in my life.
Okay, well, let's think about if that in the book, if Stacey's dad was gay and in a relationship with Stu Majors, like at that point with the reveal, what would have happened? Like,
I would have just like but expired of
not
happiness.
To you,
I don't know.
In the book, Emily.
I know. I can't think beyond it.
Would have been the reason for their divorce.
Yep. So then
and he would have been like, all those late nights I spent in the office, I was really. I don't
know. In the arms of Stu,
living
my one true love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No,
leading his double life.
The club.
Yeah, in the club.
Club.
Das Club.
He's down in Chelsea.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I know. It would have been great. It would have been great. You know, how would they? I mean, I'll be really
also,
interested once
now,
we read. Oh, go ahead.
Then they could have had a whole other chest of tropes to open up. Now Stacey and her dad can both share a love of fashion.
Right. And Broadway.
And Broadway.
Yes. So, yeah.
Nightlife.
That's why he's always taking her shopping to buy pretty things and to Broadway shows.
Yes.
And fine dining. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the world where Mr. McGill's gay.
Yeah.
<love it. laughs> Oh, wow. And he's
I think it would also be very trope-laden, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I think having some homosexual tropes in a children's book in 1994 would be better than having these heterosexual tropes.
Yeah, heterosexist ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I was just, like, out of curiosity, I looked up what percentages of divorces are instigated by women versus men. And it's like 70% of them are filed by women, which is kind of interesting.
That's
and like,
not a surprise.
Or not surprised.
No. But like, it's this whole fucking thing, right? It's like, yeah. Okay, how many times do I have to tell you that like, when you take your face lotion out of the mirror cabinet, like put it back after you're done using it, don't leave it on the counter, right? Like,
this is a random example.
Just, yeah.
Oh my God, but I feel like I am that person.
Anne is that person.
I am
for
that
sure.
person for sure. Whoopsies.
Oh, she leaves her face lotion on the counter.
Well, yeah. You know what, Anne? You're saving us from sexism. So
here to represent all of the cisgender female slobs of the world. Mm-hmm. Anne, well, it's your face.
It could have been cool if actually, like, Mrs. McGill, when she was having that conversation with Stacey about, like, some people have a hard time with their emotions, like, your dad was one of those people, like, for her to take the next step, you know, and not be like, this is, sometimes men are like this because men are like this and women are like that, but, like, this is a common thing that happens in marriages and, like, you know, it's there's like an opening for the sexual division of labor in the home conversation there, right? That like women historically have been responsible for all this crap and like men haven't had to do it. And it, you know, leads to this kind of like imbalance. And like it could have been a potentially cool feminist teaching moment. But I think I'm getting ahead, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as cool as if Stu Majors was the Queen of Fire Island, but
somebody, someone write that for us, please. Fanfic.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then Stu and Stacey's dad would have had this really cool float in the parade.
Oh my God. Stu would have been Lady Liberty instead of Samantha.
Yeah. it'd be interesting to think about, you know how they say you marry your, like you marry your dad or you marry your mom type of thing to look at each of their romantic interests and if they have any connection to their to their fathers.
I don't feel like we know enough about other dads. We only really know about Richard and Ed. Like what's Mr. Kishi like? He's Asian.
No, he's Asian. Like,
he has almond shaped eyes.
Yeah. We don't know anything about him.
Yeah. He's a lawyer? No. Or he's like he does something. Is he a lawyer? Okay.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
Sorry,
I was thinking of Richard. Mr. Kishi, maybe he works at a bank?
I think he works in a bank. He's like an investment something.
Yeah.
They all work in banks. Yeah. It is Connecticut, I suppose.
It is Connecticut. All right. Yeah, is that all you had, Emily?
Yeah. Just my dashed hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of a gay Mr. McGill.
I know.
It's okay. We can pizza toast this dude. Maybe.
Yes. To Stew in his Speedo.
Yeah.
On the beach, making margs. Okay.
All right, Annie, what do you got?
Yeah, just some nuggets. I thought it was funny that Stacey was like, Robert's, you know, cute, but not as gorgeous as Jason Priestley.
Right.
So funny.
Yeah.
Isn't that who she says he looks like in a different book? And Christy is laughs. It? There was some other Jason Priestley reference. I thought it was in the Robert book, but maybe not.
Yeah. It just made me think about, like, how, like, did you watch 90210?
I did. Emily still has never seen it. That's one of the things we've talked about doing for Patreon.
I think it was always, like, are you a Jason guy or, like, a Luke Perry girl? You know, it was,
you like,
Brandon
or Dylan. Yeah.
Like, Brandon or Dylan. And at the time, I think I liked Brandon more. Mm-hmm. But clearly...
Luke Perry is much more attractive than Jason.
Yeah, and way cooler, right? Luke was a little bit too bad boy for me at the time.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
When I was a young teen, a little scary, too edgy for me. Okay, and then I also thought it was funny that Stacey chose like a sunflower print.
Oh. Sunflowers, man. In 1994, sunflowers.
Yeah. So I was like thinking about that and I was like, why were sunflowers so big?
It's so big.
So, I mean, you definitely had sunflower stuff.
So many things.
You had a sunflower dress, a hat.
I had that floppy hat with the sunflower on the front.
But do you get that because of Blossom?
I mean, Blossom was there. I don't remember whether those happened simultaneously or I felt like Clarissa was more of a fashion inspiration for me than Blossom. Mm-hmm. But it was happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Clarissa Explains It All.
Yes.
Yes.
I watched that.
Yeah. Yes. So I started watching like some Blossom intros. And I was like, wow, this is how I imagine Claudia should dress.
Yeah.
Like her outfits are just so like goofy.
Yeah.
And fun.
Yes. I got called Blossom a lot as an insult.
You did.
By like the cool black kids. I would like walk down the hallway and they'd be like, okay, Blossom.
Like, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Funny.
That's really funny.
Like very frequently. And I was like, hi.
Yeah. But a little fun fact about Blossom was that there was like one episode where there was a Fresh Prince crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah. Emily's like, oh, God, you guys are so old. Shut up.
Is this what my students feel like when I talk about something that's from this is my childhood?
We had one reviewer that got mad at Emily for not knowing any of the Gen X references. They're like, did she never watch anything in syndication?
That's really funny.
No. Well, also, like, I spent a lot of my childhood in the literal woods where we didn't have TV. So.
Oh, yeah. You were, like, doing push-ups and...
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I was training.
Breeding Rottweilers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a weird life, man.
You were doing isometric things with your body.
Anne and I were just watching Blossom.
And, like, playing Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically what we were doing. There was a Johnny Depp little shout out, which, you know.
Oh, yeah. Claudia and Stacey think he's so cute. Really,
yeah. I mean, he was cute in 1994. He was like the hottest guy around.
Really gross to read 30 years later.
I know, really gross. But this reminds me of a story that my friend Liz told me recently about Johnny Depp. Because, you know, the Oscars were on recently.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how when she was, I don't know, like 7 or 8, Johnny Depp was nominated for an award for Edward Scissorhands, and he lost to Gerard Depardieu in Green Card.
She said
she threw a tantrum and was like, "It's not fair!" And was like, could like stormed out of the room because he didn't win.
Because
she loved that movie. She loved Edward Scissorhands so much.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I don't think I've ever loved anything that much.
Only if Mr. McGill was gay would you have experienced that kind of love.
Yeah, then I wouldn't have known what it is like to be a fan.
Yeah. In our last episode, we talked about how neither one of us are enthusiastic enough to be true nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. We would have never cried and had passion for
Johnny Depp.
Depp like that. No. And then last little tidbit is that in the summer camp thing.
The day camp?
Day camp. They make lanyards. And I was like, God damn, they always make lanyards in summer camp. Did you guys make? I never went to summer camp, but I assume that Girl Scouts make them and whatever.
We made lanyards a lot at the Beck's house.
Yeah. With the colorful cords, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little nugget about the history of lanyards.
Ooh.
It's not that it's very
did a white guy rip off a woman of color?
Yes. So the art of making lanyards has like funny name. It's often called boondoggle or Scooby Doo.
Yep.
And basically, it just dates back to centuries ago with sailors on ships.
Yeah,
and
it comes from sailing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just because they had to climb the rigging really tall, like, you know, and it was dangerous and they couldn't carry their tools with them. So they just found scraps of rope.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were sailors and knew knot tying, they just tied knots with it and just attached their tools to it and like put it around their neck or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but in the 1950s, when it became popular as like a craft, it was basically to teach kids how to make knots.
Right, which is why we do it in Girl Scouts.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. But then I feel like a lot of times at camps, it's just you're trying to corral a group of kids to like transition and listen to instructions and do things. And so it's good to give them something to do constantly so that they're like at least partially occupied and then they can like listen to instructions about like the tug of war or the like next little thing you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it just got me thinking about knot tying. Knots were something you actually had to know how to do back in the day. Like it was important.
It's still really useful for camping.
No, totally. Like my dad just is just like, he'll like wrap things. He's like, oh, you got to use this knot. And I'm like, wow, that's so useful. Like, I have no idea how to do that.
I can teach you.
You know who else knows a lot about knots is Erin Crandall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe she should start like a, you know, like a YouTube channel. Yeah.
Teaching people how to talk. Oh my God. That? Okay. There is some weird audience for that, for sure. Yeah. Do you know how she also doesn't like being looked at? So she would be like all uncomfortable and like,
it can just be her hands, you know?
I hate to burst your guys' bubble. There are lots of these videos already. They don't star Erin Crandall.
But are they Erin? Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's what we're saying is the, that's the gold.
Yeah, she just needs like a little gimmick or something.
Erin is the gimmick.
Yeah. I think her gimmick is that she doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, she doesn't want to do any of this. She just wants to mock, pretend to be mad at us that we didn't have her on the podcast, but she doesn't actually want to come on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's her whole thing. It's her whole shtick.
Maybe that could be one of our, something for our patrons.
Force Erin to record something against her will.
Yeah, she can show our patrons how to make a knot. Mm-hmm. Write us at stuckinstonybrook@gmail.com if you want to see
Emily's sister tie a knot.
Yes.
And your niece.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't trying to disown her. I was just
wow.
With the primary.
Wow. First you disown Anne. Now you disown Erin. Was there any candy in this book?
There are just Cheetos.
That's it? And the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
They had some good seafood, though. I wanted to go to the casino.
Yeah, that sounded expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. I was so mad at Stacy for rushing Claudia's fine dining experience. Me it really too. Upset me.
That the kishis were paying for.
Yeah, that made me really sad when it was just like, oh, my parents said to treat you. And here's Stacy just trying to get to this like sailboat.
Yeah. Also, sucks. If she went on a sailboat without her dad knowing about it, and something went wrong, which we already know that could happen. See, Super Special 4, Island Adventure. Like, can you, like, that's the part that would make me.
Yeah, and Claudia is the one who's good at sailing.
Yeah.
So Claudia would even be there to save them.
Honestly. And it's on the open ocean. They're on the ocean side. Forget it.
I know.
Ridiculous. Forget it. Ridiculous. Yeah, not a lot of tallies in this book, only shy and sensitive. So, interesting. Yeah, hope springs eternal that Almond and Exotic will go away, but we'll see.
We shall see.
So what did you guys have for weirdest lines? That sounds like you have a good list, Emily.
Emily has all the good ones.
Yeah.
Well, none of them are really good for a title, but I was the things that Haley and Vanessa say to insult each other are hysterical.
Yeah.
There's like a whole exchange where they are like, get your big behind out of my face, or like, your rear end is bigger than mine, or like whatever. And the one that like fucking killed me is when they're doing the race where they like tie their legs together. One of them, I can't remember if Haley says it or Vanessa, but one of them says, I can't have the fleas from your leg jumping onto my leg. And I was like, what kind of children's insult is this? I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I can't tell if it's so age appropriate or not, but I was just like, I would never have thought to say that. And it's amazing. I'm going to say that like to adults who are too close to me in public. Yeah.
That's really
fleas
funny.
From your leg or getting on my leg. Get away from me. Like,
if someone said that to me, I would honestly be offended. I'd be like, excuse me?
Excuse me?
I don't have fleas.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that we should each try saying it to our partners this week and see how they react.
Conduct an experiment. Okay. Matt would probably just play along and then like
pretend make to put it fleas worse. On you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also really like when they make up, they start being annoying in the opposite direction and saying, Mal and Jesse describe them as like being lovey-dovey friends, and they say things like, my most wonderful friend, Vanessa, or like, my number one best bud, Haley, and like weird lovey-dovey things, which I thought was very funny because that also seems like, I don't know, I feel like Haley and Vanessa get like full weird personalities in this book that we've like never seen before. Oh, yeah.
Well, because it's like a Lucy and Ethel bizarro thing.
Yeah,
like,
it was,
I got super I Love Lucy, I wrote down, would 9-year-old girls actually care about having the same suit? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Not at all.
Like this is definitely like a women care about how they look like trope that is like applied downward.
Right.
But then it just gets fully ridiculous, as you mentioned.
Like, I really want it to be the fleas from your leg or getting on my leg, but it's too long. It doesn't work as a title.
Okay, what did you have, Annie?
The only thing I have is when Claudia tells Stacey she's leaving early. It's Claudia shot me a look. The look said, "Are you stupid?" And I wrote down, "Are you stupid?"
I think that's pretty good.
I love that. I'm down to have that as a title.
I agree, though, that like the subtitle, even though it won't fit on the episode page, is "The fleas from your leg are going to get on my leg."
Yeah.
That absolutely sent me. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Like, imagine if Ed McGill was gay and that insult was in the same book.
It's so good.
Emily would be happy forevermore.
Yeah.
I know. In some alternate timeline where those phenomena collide, I am a happy person.
Finally.
Yeah. Not an anxious, depressed person.
Oh, God.
I blame Mr. McGill.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. All right. So are you
okay? Steven? Well, we already know who our pizza toast is, too.
Oh, yeah. Good old Stu Majors, this the queen of Davis Club. Park. Yeah.
What does Stu Majors look like?
Bald, but with a six-pack. I don't know.
Yeah, like hot bald, like Christopher Maloney bald.
Mm-hmm. Like Mr. Clean?
No. Like Christopher Why did you go Mr. Clean?
That's the first bald guy. That's the first buff bald guy that came to my head.
Or like a Stanley Tucci.
Oh, yeah. Stanley Tucci. Yeah, but like a young, I mean, they're only in their, probably in their late 30s, early 40s here.
Yeah.
But
he's wearing
like,
very short shorts.
Very short shorts, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm thinking like Tom of Finland, like super, super mask,
like absurdly hot and rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like very well coiffed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And Stacey's like, it's so funny that my dad is such good friends with Mr. Majors.
Yeah. Mr. Majors. Well, all here's the stew.
To the gay Mr. Majors.
Oh, to gay Mr. Majors.
Pizza toast to you in our alternate universe.
This episode of Stuck in Stony Brook is now adjourned.
Thank you to Anna and Martin for everything. This episode of Stuck in Stony Brook is edited by Salar Khan. You can find her work and hire her at propodcastediting.net. Theme song written and recorded by Gary Schaller, performed by the band Kid Kit. You can follow us on Instagram at Stuck in Stony Brook or find us on our website, stuckinstonybrook.com. You can also join us on Patreon for bonus content at patreon.com/stuckinstonybrook. Need some books that we mentioned? Buy them from our bookshop and support both a local independent bookstore and your favorite series literature analysis podcast. Find us at bookshop.org/shop/Stuck in Stony Brook. Lastly, if you're feeling dibbly generous and you want to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be super helpful. You're the best friends a girl could ask for.